This is Jay Sekulow. A federal judge strikes down Obamacare. And are we on the verge of a government shutdown?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, we've got a lot to talk about on this Monday, a number of topics. I need to say first, we're going to get into this federal court judge striking down the Affordable Care Act and the implications of that. It's a judge out of Texas. We also have just sent to the printer our Supreme Court brief in the American Legion versus American Humanist Association. This is for the Blandenburg Cross case. We're filing an amicus brief on behalf of our members at the American Center for Law and Justice, but also a general in the United States Marines. So that brief will be filed by the end of the week. And we're looking at the possibility of a government shutdown. So this is a busy week. I'm going to go right to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., and let's start with a little briefing on the government shutdown.
Yeah, Jay, so 75% of the government has been funded through all of next year. That is where I think we should start, including the pay for the members of our military. So what we're looking at is a partial shutdown of the remaining seven agencies, about 25% of the federal government that does not yet have funding for next year. So if we would get to that deadline, which is Friday at midnight, Jay, those seven agencies, anyone who is deemed non-essential in those agencies would be furloughed until a deal had been reached. Now, Jay, again, our listeners know this, but the crux of the disagreement right now is on whether or not the Department of Homeland Security is going to fulfill its responsibility to secure the border. The president has insisted on $5 billion to fund the building of that wall. Democrats, Jay, have refused to allocate an additional dime other than what was in the budget from before. That is essentially the impasse as it stands right now. You do need to get to 60 votes in the United States Senate, so it takes Republican votes and Democrat votes. As of now, though, Jay, we're about 4.5 days away from a government shutdown, and it's a deadline that the president has said he is willing to take it to in order to secure the border.
All right, so let's talk about the practical implications of that. How do you see it lining up, Jordan, politically for the president? There's also talk that Susan Collins is offering a $2.5 billion expenditure for the wall.
That's a very key number. I think if the president can double what the Democrats wanted to initially offer, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, which was, remember, they came in at $1.3 billion. So if he could double that to $2.5 billion, consider that a win. So that I could see the president signing legislation like that. The only question I have is, can you get not the House votes, but can you get the Senate votes, the nine required Democrats, to get cloture on the vote? Or is there going to be a filibuster on that legislation because it does up the funding for the wall? Now, if Susan Collins can put together a real bipartisan group, I think that would have a real shot so that we would not be facing a government shutdown. That being said, the way this is coming together is going to be pretty, it seems like it'll be pretty last minute. Now, sometimes the Senate acts quickly, and by Wednesday of this week, we may have no issue with a government shutdown.
So, Harry, when you look at the numbers again, I mean, it's important to reiterate, we're talking about that border wall funding is basically a political jockeying point.
Absolutely. And so if we take Susan Collins's proposal at face value, it will be less than 0.1% of the federal budget. And yet there's a lack of political will in Congress, particularly in the Senate, but also in the House, to get to that minuscule amount. And it's absurd. It makes no sense. The only place it makes sense is in the world of Washington, which is the world of make-believe.
Yeah, well, talking about world of make-believe, guess who's coming back to speak to the United States Congress today? James Comey, round two. Last time he said that they were able to get an interview with General Flynn because they didn't have to worry about going through the normal government protocols that they had to with previous administrations. In other words, approved by the White House counsel. So there you have it. So he's back up. There's a lot going on in Washington. We're taking your calls on all this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, we're at the halfway point for the month of December. Your support for the Matching Challenge campaign of the ACLJ. These are the critical 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is the critical 2 weeks. We finish out the year. A lot of work to do in the last couple of weeks of December, but also to prepare for the new year. Support the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation right now by making it online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. We got a lot to talk about. So we talked about a little bit on the government shutdown. We'll get into more of that. Also, a federal judge in Texas said on Friday that the Affordable Care Act's individual coverage mandate is unconstitutional and that the rest of the law therefore cannot stand. Now, this was a big development, and now everybody's asking, what is that? We're back with the Obamacare situation, and the answer to that is yes. This was issues that were not addressed by the Supreme Court. The case is going to go to the appeal. Remember that it was Chief Justice John Roberts last time that cast the deciding vote leaving the law intact in 2012. But it's unclear how the justices will view this particular challenge, which centers on changes to the individual mandate that were part of the 2017 tax reform. Let's explain that a little bit, Harry.
So in 2017, the Republicans passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. That eliminated the so-called Obamacare tax, which was used to salvage the ACA in Justice Roberts' opinion in NFIB versus Sebelius, a decision that was reached around 2014, 2015. So without the financial component of the individual mandate, the judge has suggested that the entire law is now invalid and he has ruled it unconstitutional. Now, there are a number of legal issues that remain to be resolved going forward, but his decision casts doubt on the viability of this law going forward for millions of Americans. Recall, Jay, that the law was designed in some sense for failure, in part because it was going to try to force younger, healthier individuals to subsidize older, sicker Americans.
And the idea was to get everybody on universal health care.
Absolutely.
That was the ultimate plan.
So you could argue that it was designed to fail and then force everyone on a public sector law like Canada or Great Britain. And so the Obamacare law, if you will, destroyed the market for health insurance.
Yeah.
It raised premiums. Many people lost their insurance, and deductibles rose enormously. So 20 states filed suit in Texas seeking to have the law invalidated, and a judge has so ruled.
Yeah, District Court Judge Reed O'Connor said the individual mandate can no longer be fairly read as an exercise of Congress's tax power and is still impermissible under the Interstate Commerce Clause, meaning the individual mandate is unconstitutional. Wes, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really a controversial issue that seemingly will not go away. And you look at what's going on here, and there's bipartisan support of a fix for this needed. And every
president
time,
said you need to fix it. Yeah.
And yet, bipartisan is not what our Congress does very well, or the Senate. And yet, it's going to take that to fix it. But in the meantime, people struggle with it. On the one hand, some people have gotten used to the idea. The one thing that Dems and the GOP agree on is, you know, taking care of people with pre-existing conditions. Right. That's important. But on the other hand, many people who have these exchange insurance plans, they can't afford to use them. They essentially have no health insurance. They can't afford the deductibles. They can't afford the premiums. Next year, 2019, so far, and I think open enrollment ended Saturday, only 4 million people signed up for it, because by taking that penalty away, people are not inclined to do it because they were paying for insurance that literally, because of the prohibitive cost, they could not use.
And that's what brings the whole issue back to the U.S. Supreme Court. Ultimately, as President Trump has tweeted out, that this has got to be decided by the Supreme Court. He said the deductible, which comes with Obamacare, is so high that it's practically not even usable. It hurts families badly. We have a chance working with the Democrats to deliver great health care. A confirming Supreme Court decision, so one that confirmed this judge's decision, will lead to great health care results for Americans. He writes, tweets, Mitch and Nancy, get it done and protect pre-existing conditions.
So let's take a look at that. We're taking your calls, by the way. Your reaction to this federal judge, your reaction about a potential government shutdown. We'll talk about the Blandenburg Cross case, how important the religious freedom issue is to you. We've got a lot of issues that we're dealing with at the ACLJ. Let me go ahead and take calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is on the government shutdown. Let's take a call.
Yeah, Raj called in from Virginia online too. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Raj. You're on the air. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Very important. We do need to shut down the waste, fraud, and abuse in the major government agencies. That waste, fraud, and abuse has been very well characterized. It is very well known. And we're going after things like the conditions, pre-existing conditions. There are none. Health is a pre-existing condition. And the entire pharmaceutical industry has lied.
Well, look, I mean, every proposal that's out there includes then pre-existing conditions as coverage.
Yes, and that is...
The Republican package that was advanced in the Senate, multiple versions of it, Jay, all included. And I just go back to the conversation that Jordan had with Wes a minute ago. If this individual mandate is ruled unconstitutional, Jay, and then the solution goes back to the Congress, I think what would happen is a bipartisan package that would set up state-based high-risk pools to cover pre-existing conditions. And Jay, the other piece of that, buying across state lines, just those two pieces of alone would make coverage not only more affordable but more accessible. I think that's what the package would center on.
So look, you got a federal judge saying it's unconstitutional. I want to get the reaction of our base here. What do you think about this court's ruling, and how is Obamacare working out for you? Because I'll tell you who it's not working out for. Frank on Facebook, who said, I had good health insurance until Obamacare. Then afterwards, all I now had was threats of fines.
Threats of fines. Those fines now are no longer in place. The deductibles are. It's very difficult for people to find in many places. Health providers and doctors that will even take their Obamacare insurance that they have gotten on these exchanges. It has been very confused, I believe. The whole issue is not smooth. It's not good. I agree with the president. We need something better for the American people. We're a first-rate country. We should have a first-rate healthcare system, and we don't have one right now. So, and by zeroing out the penalty, they get led to, again, allowing these 20 state attorney generals to challenge the law, because it's a different look now at the Supreme Court. Look, Chief Justice Roberts wrote it as a tax. Well, if you take out the tax,
what's left to justify the what's really the issue here is the tax was the justification upon which this law could be based. In other words, that is what gave Congress, Harry, the authority to execute the law. You take out the tax, say, well, we're not going to enforce the tax. What then is binding on the law? Now, their answer is going to be, well, another president can come in and reoppose it.
Well, it's important to look at Justice Antonin Scalia's oral argument or questions during oral argument before the United States Supreme Court in 2012. If the government can force you to buy health care under the Commerce Clause, it can also force you to buy broccoli or a car or pretty much anything. Allowing the individual mandate under the Commerce Clause power gives Congress unlimited authority to regulate almost every aspect of our lives. And so what Chief Justice Roberts did is he said, yes, you can't do it under the Commerce Clause, but let's call it a tax. Well, the financial penalty associated with that tax has now disappeared.
And, of course, they hated calling it a tax during the argument. They did everything they could until the very end to say it was a tax.
Precisely. And so now that the tax or financial penalty has disappeared, the judge in Texas makes the very logical claim that the law itself should fall. Now, there are huge consequences if the judge's decision is upheld, because there's a reliance interest out there. There are people that have indeed relied on Obamacare, however flawed it may be. And it's also important to note that we have not solved the deductibility issue. We have not solved really the access issue. And
no, it really hasn't solved. I mean, there's only four, was it four? How many people are enrolled in Obamacare?
4 million. Ahead.
4 million.
This next year, 4 million.
So we have done all of this. There had to be an easier way to do this. And I think that's the point. Now, the question is, will Congress do anything? And that's the real question.
They don't do bipartisan very well. But here's the real crux of the issue with Obamacare, the ACA. And that is, you did not get to keep your doctor. You did not get to keep your plan. And the plan they forced you to buy, most people can't afford to use it. And that's the real bottom line issue.
Lynette on Facebook's writing in, I can't afford to go to the doctor after paying all the premiums. I certainly cannot afford to pay for everyone else to go to the doctor. Kimberly on Periscope, the Obamacare exchanges never worked for me. I simply couldn't afford the premiums. And
well, that's
again,
the problem.
I think let's take the call. We have time to do it. Arthur in Ohio on line one, because it goes right in line with
those
comments.
Okay, go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm one of the victims of the ACA. Yep. I had great health insurance before the ACA. I had a wonderful doctor that actually saved my life in a heart situation. I no longer have my Mennonite doctor. Now I'm in a situation that I went Saturday to the website. My premiums per month will be $954.06 per month.
$12,000 a year and you're retired.
Well, I'm 64. I'm going to retire in April. And the situation is...
Is that coverage for you and a spouse or just you?
Not just me.
I mean, I want people to understand. Thank you for calling, Arthur. If it was for a spouse included in that, it would probably be close to $20,000. Okay? Something's not right. The whole system, I mean, look, this judge is getting it right from a legal standpoint, but there's a policy issue here is much deeper. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about the ACA, government shutdown, Brandenburg Cross, and a little surprise release from the FBI, a little two-pager on Mr. Comey. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls, and don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Enjoy listening to us on radio every day. Let me tell you something. You can help the ACLJ this month. We bring this broadcast to you each and every day. Your support for the ACLJ allows us to produce this broadcast. So let me encourage you to go to aclj.org for that. Also, Trudy on Facebook said, if we're set up as monthly donors to the ACLJ, will those gifts be matched during the matching challenge month? And the answer is yes. Anything that comes in during those months are matched. So anything that's come in during those months are matched. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. I do want to mention that we have sent to the printer today a brief in a Supreme Court case. It's an amicus brief. It's called Friend of the Court. We're representing both the American Center for Law and Justice, you all as our members, and a Lieutenant General. Someone needs to give me a copy of that brief. I don't think we brought it in. Let me get a copy of that draft. Anyways, we've got a general that in the military that's also part of this brief, and it's going to the Supreme Court on Friday is the filing date on that. The court agreed to hear it. It's a World War I Memorial Cross, and the American 8th UMass Association wants to take it down. We're also representing, I've got it in my hands right here, Lieutenant General Robert Blackman, U.S. Marine Corps, retired and supported petitioners. So we're filing our brief and a member of the military. I want to go to Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, Colonel Smith. And this is, you know, a lot of people have contacted about, I don't know how many signed on to the brief. I mean, we have a final number on that, but there's a lot of folks. But these are important, these memorials all over the country, and you start removing them, creates a whole host of problems.
It does. You set a precedent. If Maryland loses this case and that cross is forced to be taken down, it impacts other monuments all across the nation, many of them on government property. This monument is almost 100 years old. It's 40 feet high. It has the names of the 49 soldiers from that county who died in World War One. Yep. And yet Virginia, the federal appeals court there, says that the primary effect of the cross is endorsing religion. Maryland has countered that by saying it's a secular message of remembering those who died.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one. It's right outside Washington, D.C., in an area in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's a suburb of D.C. and Prince George's County. When this issue first came to light, we just took a drive over and did some footage actually in front of it. It's again a roundabout.
We should find it and put it to a video.
Yeah, it's again what they try to describe this is the fact that these become Supreme Court controversies are kind of shock the conscience in the sense that again, as Wes said, nearly 100 years old, it was served in its first place really as a gravestone for World War I veterans, because at that time period, they were buried overseas. And so this is a place for families from Bladensburg, so for that area, to go and kind of acknowledge the war dead from their families. Now, that picture I will show you that people are seeing on Facebook and Periscope is from it's from looking up, so it makes it even look bigger than it is. It's not so big when you're used to when you're used to Washington, D.C. kind of monuments.
That's not a
Windfall but what apartment. It is unique about it is the age.
My goodness, it has the word courage on it. That's got to be unconstitutional, too.
It's that World War One. There they are. This was where they could go to pay tribute to those whose bodies weren't returned. They were buried overseas, and at that time period, you know, making a trip to Europe to a loved one's grave was not normal.
And it says valor on one side, courage on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's at the Supreme Court of the United States, and I think we carried the day, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a 5-4. I also wouldn't be shocked if it was 9-0, because some of these are so outrageous. We had that case involving the Ten Commandments monument. We won unanimously at the Supreme Court. And then we talked about the nativity scene issues last week, and so there's been some movement on that. Talking about movement on something, I should, as an aside here, we've been contacted by the one of the publishers on this, what we think is Buddhist teachings in the elementary schools. They've contacted us. And then we've done further digging and have found out that, in fact, the author of one of the curriculums is not only a Buddhist, which is fine, it's a free country, but his teacher is a Buddhist monk who incorporated this teaching, and it acknowledges that this infects the spiritual well-being of the student. Now, could you imagine if it's a curriculum said we're going to do the Lord's Prayer? Or we're going to do the Shema. You think that which is the prayer that Jewish people say, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Okay, so that's said in the Jewish community. Or the Lord's Prayer. and say, well, it helps you calm down, it helps you focus, and I think all that's true. But could you imagine what would happen if that was mandated in a public school system? But the good news is we heard from a lot of you on that, and we've got cases now, and there's one where a school district is considering adopting the curriculum. We're hoping to get in there and get that down and get that stopped. The reason I'm encouraged about that is, again, if you support the work of the ACLJ, that's what we do. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Good way to support the work. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Nicholas calling in from Idaho on line one. Nicholas, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, I was calling in. You guys were talking about the whole Obamacare, and this is actually kind of one of the first times I ever heard your radio station. And I'll tell you what, he really ruined the country with that Obamacare. I was pretty young when he got in the office, and I guess I didn't follow politics as much as I do now. But my premium at the time was $385 a month. I was pretty young; I was 25 years old. I owned a trucking truck, made pretty good money, and everything was told that I could keep everything the same, keep my agent, all that stuff. Well, come to find out, my premium went to $1,297 a month.
How much was yours? Went to
health insurance.
How much was it?
$1,297 a month.
The $1,300 a month, is that for you and your family or just you?
That was me and my family. At the time, it was just me, my wife, and my daughter. And then we had a son in October. And my premium didn't include dental or vision. That was just health insurance. And then
Roughly $15,000 a year. Yeah.
Right. And my maximum out-of-pocket was $14,000. So by the time I got done having my son, between my premium, my
$30,000,
all that stuff. Yeah, it was almost 40.
This is a prime example, case A, of why this does not work.
Yeah, it does not work at all. And it was he had a premium at $300 per month. It did. So yeah, it was working for him.
Yeah, so
regular health care was working for him.
Of course it was.
And now it's.
And
now
if you would have opened up across state line competition, it would have worked better. Here's the question, though, Than, and that is there any possibility of this being addressed anytime soon to resolve this problem for the American people?
Well, I think there is, Jay, but look, the first step in any solution is going to be undoing the damage that Obamacare caused. I mean, Nicholas' story is repeated all across the country. The regulations under Obamacare's Title I, which is all the regulations that it forced you to buy products that you didn't need inside your insurance policy, Jay, that is what made the deductibles and premiums go through the roof. So, you know, the Hippocratic Oath talks about doing no harm. First, we have to undo the harm of Obamacare, remove those regulations, and ease that burden on people like Nicholas. And then, yes, you do need to fix it. Wes talked about a bipartisan compromise. I think that would happen. But, Jay,
give
it's only going to happen
upon which that might happen, because I'm having trouble seeing it, Dan.
Well, it's not going to happen until all of those Title I regulations that have now been ruled unconstitutional are out of the way. That lowers the bulk of the problem. And then I think the framework in which you get a solution, you would have to get something in place for pre-existing coverage. But until the regulations under ACA are removed, Jay, a proposal like that's not going to move forward. That has to be the first step.
Yeah, Harry.
Well, I think Fan is precisely correct. Because it's the regulations and it's the rules which have driven the costs through the roof and have helped to raise the cost of deductibles so that for many Americans, insurance is now unaffordable.
Yep.
So Obamacare delivered results, but it delivered results in the opposite direction that was allegedly proposed by our leaders in Washington.
It is time, folks, for you to support the work of the ACLJ. This is the year end as we approach and prepare for the next year, but also to fight out the remaining battles of this year. We need your financial support. Your donations will be doubled. We have a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate, we have a donor ready to match that donation. Do it today at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Talking about Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it's starting off as a busy week. The ACLJ is going to be filing a brief in the case American Legion versus American Humanist Association. Will be an amicus brief in support of the petitioners. The case involves the famous Brandenburg Cross from World War I. That brief going into the Supreme Court on Friday. That's happening. At the same time, a federal judge strikes down an Affordable Care Act challenge and strikes the Affordable Care Act down. That has created quite a discussion point, and we're talking about that. You also have, and this is significant, the possibility of a government shutdown, although you now are hearing that there's going to be the possibility of, at least a possibility, that we could see a increase to about $2.5 billion for wall funding on one of the proposals to try to avoid the shutdown that's being proposed by Susan Collins.
That's right, and Susan Collins would be the Republican senator who could put together a bipartisan group to get this the 60 votes necessary in the Senate so that there could be a final vote. It might not, that budget might not actually get 60 votes, but there's still the 60-vote threshold for this type of legislation. So when that filibuster was undone for Supreme Court nominees, cabinet positions, other judicial nominees, and positions, executive branch positions that need confirmation, did not do away with the legislative requirement for 60 votes. Take a listen to Susan Collins, Bite 13.
There's absolutely no excuse to shut down government on this issue or any other issue. I have suggested that we revisit a compromise proposal that we brought forth earlier this year. I helped craft it. It was offered by Senators King and Rounds, and it provided $2.5 billion this year and over the next 10 years to fully fund the Border Security Initiative.
So I want to take a, we're going to go ahead and take a call in the first segment here because our phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110 on that exact point on line two.
Yep, Ricky in Pennsylvania, line two, you're on the air.
Hi, Ricky.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my phone
call.
Yes, the only problem I have with the war and, you know, the government might be shutting down is, that during the campaign, the thing is that Trump, he promised, you know, to his supporters that that Mexico was going to pay for the war.
Right.
And I think, and now they're threatening to shut down the government, which I think it's not right.
So here's, I mean, there's a way to look at this. I mean, the president did say that he was going to have Mexico pay for the wall. Now we just renegotiated the United States,
Mexico,
Canada trade pact.
Correct.
How does that impact our net dollars to the United States? In effect, is Mexico going to be increasing what they're having to pay?
Absolutely. So basically, the New Deal will help rebalance our current trade deficit with Mexico, generating more jobs, more tax revenue, federal, state, and local.
More than $2.5 billion?
Within the United States. And exceeding more than $2.5 billion, probably well exceeding $5 billion on an annual basis. It's probably in excess of $10 to $20 billion. So I think if you look at this from a global perspective, the president undoubtedly would be able to say that Mexico has helped to fund or pay for the wall at the end of the day.
So let me ask you this then. What is the likely? We're approaching Friday here. What do we expect to happen? What's your best guess on what's going to happen right now?
I think my best guess is it's going to go past the deadline, Jay. I think there will be a partial shutdown because I think Democrats are that dug in on it. But I think the president is determined to take this as far as he needs to get a deal. And let me just quickly comment on the proposal that Jordan mentioned from Susan Collins. That is exactly the kind of endpoint that I think the president is driving for. And here's why. It's not just about the $2.5 billion, but that proposal that she's talking about, Jay, it includes new authority to build a new structure, something that does not exist under current law. So if you could get $2.5 billion every year for 10 years, plus that critically needed new authority, I think the president would sign that in a heartbeat.
I do, too. I think that that would be, again, a victory for President Trump, but something Democrats could live with so that they can move forward with a kind of fresh debates on legislative issues starting in the new term in January. We need your financial support. ACLJ.org matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation. Whatever you donate, we have a donor ready to match that. So you double the impact at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Play that at the end of the broadcast. We'll be a little Jay Sekulow Band treat. We'll do that. Maybe that's the blues version of Undemocratic. By the way, the band is going to be doing a live Facebook Periscope concert on December 28th at around 9 o'clock Eastern time, coming in out of our media headquarters, and we're going to have a live audience here, and you will be live as well on Facebook. You'll get to hear us and on Periscope, and we'll want you to participate. So tell your friends. We'll send out some information about it, I'm sure. But it's going to be right in the Friday after Christmas. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phone.
Yeah, Lori's calling from Indiana on line 4. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Jay and staff. I just wanted to let you know, as I was checking into Obamacare, I'm a single woman. It was going to cost me $300 a month with a $6,000 deductible. And the Obamacare representative suggested to me that I have my workplace cut my hours so that I could receive free Obamacare.
Okay, so whoa. Because I've heard this from other people. So the rate they were charging you, $300 a month, is pretty good. It sounds like it was a very basic coverage plan, and it looks like you had a high deductible. But they were saying, well, just get under 30 hours, right? And then you can get maybe qualified for free?
Yes.
Isn't that counterproductive? Counterproductive to everything we're supposed to be doing, that Obamacare was supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to have to be cutting back your work hours to get Obamacare, and it's supposed to be more affordable insurance. And so instead that you're being told, I mean, think about this. You're being told by the government, the reps on Obamacare, hey, just tell your employer I need to work less hours, get paid less, and then we can cover you more. This is, again, a typical government program gone very, very bad, and it's falling apart. It's been falling apart in front of us, and I think that all these judges who try to step in here in all these cases are ultimately just trying to help the American people because this has got to be solved by Congress. We have a call coming in about that as well, how it can be solved. Eric in Pennsylvania on line 6. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eric. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I don't see how Congress can really resolve this because Republicans want this to be done through private, universal health care, while the Democrats want the European system of, the government controlling it.
Well, you're talking. I mean, you're phrasing it in one sense. I mean, it's the Republicans liked private health care and did not like government mandated health care. And you're right. The Democrats really wanted universal. Is that a fair way of saying it, Harry?
Absolutely. So many Democrats support a single payer system. They were prepared to see the collapse of private health insurance in the United States. But it's also important to keep in mind that there are a number of reforms that can indeed be mandated that would improve the lives of the American people, including allowing individuals to buy health insurance across state lines, removing the regulatory overhang, removing the regulations, for instance, that mandate, in effect, high drug costs. That would be one way of lowering health care costs for Americans. But it's also important to keep in mind that Judge O'Connor, who has ruled that this law was indeed unconstitutional, is an Article III judge. He's not a policymaker.
Right.
So what he has done effectively is he's placed pressure on Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, to come up with a common sense solution. Now, is that possible? Absolutely. Is it likely in the short run? It's difficult.
Probably absolutely not.
It's difficult to foresee that in the short run.
West.
Well, you know, they took a situation, an issue in our society, and made it worse and made it more complicated. It would have been less expensive for the government and less expensive for individuals had they come up with a program to insure across the board the working poor, as they're called, and then left private health insurance absolutely alone. But they didn't want to do that. And the rhetoric coming out of the Democratic Party as they react to this judge's decision in Texas, to me, is really disconcerting, because it appears from their rhetoric they are not interested in fixing the problem. They're interested in holding on to an Obama legacy, that this is his plan and we don't want to see it go away, rather than saying, if it was better for the American people, we'll scrap it and start over. They are not willing to go there.
What do you think, Jordan?
I think that, listen, the truth is that you've got a wing in the Democrat Party that is certainly for this government, complete government-run system. But I think that there are enough that realize that this has got to be an issue that has to be fixed. Whether the courts force that fix, so where the courts say, you know, we're not going to save this for you or not, this is a bad program. And when you hear about, you know, Janice on Gail on Facebook writing and saying, if my husband and I bought coverage on the Obamacare exchange today, it would cost us over $20,000 a year.
Plus a deductible. So the 20 is probably 25 or 23, maybe a lower deductible with that premium. So Than, what's being discussed, I guess, right now on Capitol Hill on this?
Well, I think you're going on Jordan's comments. You have to target the Democrats who might be agreeable to a bipartisan solution here, because look, I do think the overall structure was designed to fail. You're never going to get those who were the architects of this. They wanted it to fail. But Jay, you might be able to get some Democrats who like the idea of giving states more power to run this as they see fit. So, you know, Harry talked about the ability to buy insurance across state lines. Well, if you did that and you allowed a system where Massachusetts could put very burdensome regulations in place that would raise health care costs, but might be more tailored to the residents of Massachusetts. But Kansas could do the exact opposite. Jay, I think that's a scenario where Republicans and Democrats could come together. And I would just say the proposal that we saw from Senator Cassidy at the end of last year, it was rooted in that model. But yet the federal government said, we will give incentives to states to set up these high risk pools for pre-existing condition. Jay, that kind of scenario, if Republicans and Democrats can sit down together and actually talk about this, I think that could get through both chambers.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, right to the phones we go. Mary in Texas on line 5. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey guys, I'm a proud supporter of the ACLJ. Number two, I 100% support a government shutdown for the wall. It does not take away any emergency care like health care at the VA or other health care agencies. And thirdly, barring the cost of Obamacare, which I've been through all that, and refused it and paid the tax, barring anything to do with that, the regular healthcare industry, which I would consider in today's world, I have good health insurance. When I didn't have health insurance, I paid $450 for an MRI cash. I got an MRI of my knee the other day. They billed my insurance company $4,500. The insurance company approved $1,700. My deductible was $2,000. So I'm paying $1,700 for an MRI this, in this insurance industry today, and we have been
we've been bamboozled. I mean it's exactly well. First of all, the insurance company charges, the healthcare provider charges $4,500, knowing they're only going to get less than half. So then they get less than half, and then you're paying your portion, and you don't meet your deductible. Or there's a deductible for that procedure. So all now, how does the TRICARE, what you have in the in military, what is the system there?
The system there is so much better. It really is. Of course, being 65, I'm on Medicare, but TRICARE is my secondary insurance. There's a small premium as a retired military person. There are no deductibles, and it's really an excellent, excellent program, TRICARE.
Instead, we developed a whole bureaucracy to support this thing. So you got a situation where it's clearly not working. So what do you do when it's not working? You do it again? No, you fix it. Harry?
Absolutely, and I think Judge O'Connor's decision provides an open door for both Republicans and Democrats to step forward and to do something courageous for the American people, and that is put aside petty differences and come up with a common-sense reform effort for health insurance. The health insurance in the United States, the private sector health insurance, has been ruined largely by Obamacare. And I think both sides need to recognize that.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Julie in California, on line three. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay and Jordan.
Hey.
I'm calling about two things. First, I'm all for the $5 billion wall. What would be politically dangerous for the president if he were to hold out for that?
Well, they'll play the shutdown. I mean, well, let me answer that one quickly. They would play the shutdown as a negative, right, Van?
Yeah, they would. I honestly think the American people are ready for that, though, Jay. I think they stand behind the president on border security. And bottom line, though, I mean, people here in Washington, Jay, they're going to point fingers at each other. At the bottom line is the American people elected need to stand up and do the right thing. I think in that meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the president said what needed to be said. Look, you can blame me if you want, but I'm willing to go as far as I need to do what's right for the American people.
All right, we're taking a break. Coming to the last segment of the broadcast. All lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Folks, we're in the last 2 weeks of the year. We're a little bit behind, actually, so your support makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's right. You can donate online right now at aclj.org. Let me explain it to you. You double the impact of your donation. If you donate right now $25 at aclj.org, that's what you're charged on your credit card. So you're charged $25. We have a donor ready to match that $25 donation. What does that mean? You've effectively donated $50 to the ACLJ, but only been charged $25. It's a matching challenge. This month is so important, critical to the work of the ACLJ. Donate today.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, the question is, can they work it out? That's the House and the Congress. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That tune, by the way, we're going to play a week from Friday, the Friday the 28th, the Friday after Christmas, live from our media headquarters. It's going to be the entire Jay Sekulow Band for a couple-hour concert. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to have an audience live in our studio upstairs, and we're going to also have it live on Facebook and Periscope. So we'll, I'm sure, get some information out so you can share it with your friends and participate in what will be a fun evening. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. It is the last segment of the broadcast, so let's go right to it.
Yeah, let's go to Mary calling from Georgia on line one. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Hey, Mary.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to thank you for all the good work, great work that y'all do, for all the people out there who have their rights squashed or try to. But my question is on the affordable health care. I know how this has wrecked the insurance industry and people's lives with all the expense of insurance. But my question is, with this judge ruling, for people who have been able to get insurance only through the affordable health care and were subsidized, their premium subsidized by the government, how is this going to affect them who still have that insurance?
Yeah, so this is a great question. It's state. Right now, nothing's going to happen pending the appeal, Harry. I mean,
that's correct. The judge invalidated the law legally, but he did not issue an injunction.
Right, to stop its
so
enforcement.
So the law is still in effect operationally, and I'm sure his decision will be appealed.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And the chances of a long-term fix, I mean, Than, do the Democrats understand that there are real problems with this law? They've said it.
Well, they understand it, Jay, but I don't think the incentive will be to the point of getting something done until this actually happens, until the underlying structure of Obamacare is taken away, and then there will be a lot of incentive to put a new structure in place.
Yeah, you know, in a way, if the Fifth Circuit and then the Supreme Court will uphold this judge's ruling, that actually could be a good thing. It would force Congress to actually come up with a new plan.
I'm going to instruct our legal team to engage this at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, because that, you're right, Wes. I mean, that is a way in which the action from the Supreme Court could, in fact, if they agree to hear it, and if they struck it down, could, in fact, require that it to be fixed. And we don't want people to be without insurance. We want it to get fixed. But it's clearly not working. You know, President Obama tweeted out, get on, enroll, but you're saying the enrollment number was down to 4 million. So it tells you what's really happening with this.
Yeah, let's go back to those. People are looking at alternatives, too. Matt in Pennsylvania, online four. Matt, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Jay and Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I know you guys probably talk to Hannity every once in a while, but he's been promoting a Atlas MD type service that sounds like a really great idea, especially for someone like me. I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you guys were familiar with that at all, or what the odds are of that getting approved or passed. Or anything.
Well, I mean, there are alternative health care providers out there. You've got MedShare programs that are deemed legal. Some people have gone to concierge services. I mean, there's multiple ways that people are trying to get the healthcare system reformed.
Yeah, so I mean, Atlas, I think it's a kind of a concierge based and group coverage amongst small businesses pooling together.
Yes, which is a good idea actually.
And so yeah, I mean, I think that Matt, you look at the programs available, you make the best decision for your small business or it's an and again, I think that. One thing that's becoming clear is that this Obamacare issue for those individuals having to go and purchase on the market is just not working out for people. It is not cost effective at all. It is costing people double, triple, quadruple the amounts it used to cost them to get the same kind of coverage, even not as good a coverage.
Gene on Facebook asked this question, and we'll take in your calls at 800-684-3110. Could you explain the different numbers being requested for the wall? I've heard $25 billion, $5 billion, and $1.6 billion. $1.3 billion is actually the number that's been offered by Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. $5 billion is what the president wants this year to commence the reconstruction of the wall and continue it out over a five-year period, and that's where the $25 billion comes into play. Now, what is very important for you to understand, and we've said it over and over again, but I ask Harry Hutchinson to do it again, it's a small number in our overall budget, really small.
Absolutely. So if you took
All politics, folks.
Absolutely. So if you took the entire budget for the wall, which is about $25 billion, and if you looked at the federal budget proposed for 2019, it would be less than 1/2 of 1% if we funded the entire wall this upcoming year. And so what the president is asking for is 20% of that, $5 billion, which it's not insignificant, but in the scheme of things, it's a rounding error at the federal level. So what the Democrats have done is that they have opposed this wall largely on ideological grounds and also on grounds that they no longer support border security. So I challenge listeners out there to go out and Google Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and others, including presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, and look at what they have said about border security in the past. They have strongly supported border security. This used to be a bipartisan approach to border security. Now it has become simply ideological. And I think the American people need to demand common sense with respect to protecting our border.
Yeah, the Democrats are letting their hatred of Donald Trump trump their judgment. In January of this year, Jay, Chuck Schumer initially offered $25 million for border security and then withdrew the offer in January of this year. You look back to 2006.
What was the basis upon which, I'm trying to remember because I do remember he did it. What was the basis that he withdrew it?
They were talking about the shutdown again.
Right.
And then he felt like the president wasn't, you know, being deferential enough about whether or not to shut down the government and withdrew it. 2006, then Senators Clinton and Obama and Chuck Schumer all voted for a border wall. For a border wall in 2006, what's driving this train is they don't like Donald Trump.
No, that's exactly what it is. The numbers that we said is an insignificant number to the overall budget. All right, let's go ahead and right back to the phones.
Yep. Ruth in New Jersey on line six. Ruth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Ruth, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
First, I want to say I love your show.
Thanks.
And I am totally for shutting down the government if that's what it takes, because there's nothing more important. But I wanted to make a comment about the Obamacare situation.
Yep.
Just a bad deal overall. I've noticed it with my daughter's family. They live with one income, I guess, probably what you'd call working poor. She's got some kids at home, so she's home with the kids. And they really can't afford even what they take out of his pay. If they get insurance through his job, they can't even afford that. So when Obamacare came out, they thought we're finally going to have insurance. But even the cheapest plan was too expensive. They couldn't afford it, and it covered nothing.
That's the problem also. These ones that you hear, well, it only costs $500 a month, which is 6,000 years. What's covered? Basically catastrophic.
Yeah. I mean, so nothing is, no basic doctor visits, nothing you need with
eyes,
children.
Dentist,
right.
Nothing.
Right. You notice a lot of callers who called in with these huge plans, $20,000 plus plans, did not include any of the dental or eye doctors.
So then in 20 seconds, hope for the future on this? Is it going to take a course before?
Hope because of this ruling, Jay, but it's going to have to be torn down before it can be rebuilt, because even those terribly expensive plans, you couldn't get what you needed, but Jay, you had to buy a whole lot of what you didn't want. That part has to be eliminated before you can build again.
We're going to have, we're at the end of this broadcast, we're on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to play a little music for you, getting into the holidays here, so we'll do that, but Jordan's going to let you know how you can help us.
You know, we need your support right now, your financial support specifically, at the ACLJ. Donate online at aclj.org. Your donation is doubled. You'll be charged if you make a $20 donation. That's what you're charged on your credit card. We have a donor ready to match that $20 donation. It becomes $40 to ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation right now. aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.